Hendon Hooker was not named one of the four finalists for the Heisman Trophy. Hendon Hooker will not be going to New York. But some of the four who are have absolutely no place in this conversation. Buckle up. It's a Tuesday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into it, your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. It is here. I'm your host, Derek Kane, at underscore Kane, or on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and it's your team every single day. And this episode is brought to you in part by Omaha Steaks. The gift from the heart, a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with a complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to get the extra $30 off your order. All right, so we got a doozy here today, all right? So buckle up. We're going to talk Hendon Hooker missing out as a Heisman Trophy finalist. I'm going to bring some facts, some stats. We're going to have some conversations, all that here in segment one. Segment two and three, we'll get to your mailbag questions. I want to start off by saying this. Zach hates when I do this. It's supervisor over at Locked On. I'm recording this right after the announcement, okay? This is Tuesday's show, but this is Monday night at about 7 o'clock, 7:15, whatever. I did this intentionally because I wanted this to be raw emotion. I wanted this to be instant reactionary. And you guys know me, I am far from a homer, okay? I do not try to be a homer. I don't go out of my way to try to be against Tennessee, but that's just not my style. And I think a lot of you guys respect that about me. At least I hope you do. Hendon Hooker not being named a finalist for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I mean, what an embarrassment. What an absolute embarrassment. Sure, there was he was not a shoe-in. I'm not trying to act like this is the biggest upset in all sports history. He was definitely not a shoe-in. Going into the day, you knew that the odds-on favorite for the last 5-6 weeks, Caleb Williams, okay? You knew he'd be in there. You felt good about Ohio State C.J. Stroud. He's been in that conversation all year long. Max Duggan has made a real nice push the last couple weeks. So you knew all that. Well, he's calling me right now. It's like he can hear me. That being Zach, if you're listening. And you couple that with Corum's injury, you couple that with Hendon Hooker's injury. There were no guarantees, okay? I'm not trying to act like this is the biggest, upset ever. But when you break it down stat by stat, when you look at what the Heisman Trust looks for, there's no one more deserving to be a finalist. And I mean, Hendon was never going to win, okay? He's never going to win. So my quote-unquote outrage right now might be just a little silly because, again, he was never going to win the award, right? But it means something to be up there to be a top four finalist. It means something to not only the individual, not only the program, but to the family, to the fans. Tennessee fans do not have a good history with the Heisman Trust. Tennessee fans do not have a good history with ESPN, right? I mean, I know a lot of people listening or watching might be laughing and rolling their eyes right now because, again, a lot of times it's us against the world, right? It's Tennessee against the world, and it seems like that so many times. And a lot of times it's, you know, for good reason, right? I mean, you know, it's not a perfect fan base, but it's a good fan base. It's a passionate fan base. I love this fan base. I mention it all the time. You guys are the reason I get to do what I love. I love it. But it's the outrage I feel like is fair on a Monday night when Hendon Hooker was not named one of the finalists. Because, again, it means something to be sitting in one of those chairs, to be in New York for that experience, for that program, for that head coach, for everybody involved. It means something. This is from the Heisman Trophy website. This is the Heisman Trust mission statement. The Heisman Trophy Trust mission is to grow the legacy and preserve the integrity of the Heisman Memorial Trophy, which is annually awarded to the outstanding college football player in the United States whose performance epitomizes great ability combined with diligence, perseverance, and hard work. I am not trying to say that the other four finalists out there do not work hard.
I mean, absolutely. CJ Stroud works hard. He's good. Caleb Williams works hard. He's good. Max Duggan took an absolute beating this past weekend. Gosh, he picked up a fan in me, right? I mean, there's a lot of you out there that are looking at TCU now after that performance in the Big 12 title game where he and the Horned Frogs fell short. But just seeing what he did, I mean, he was a warrior. And one of my favorite stories in all the college football the last couple of years, one of my favorite stories is Stetson Bennett. I know everybody here hates Georgia. I know everybody here hates Kirby. I know everybody here hates Stetson Bennett probably. You're a Tennessee fan. It'd be weird if you didn't, right? I love the story of Stetson Bennett. Walk-on, two-star rated athlete, whatever, out of high school, goes to Georgia. There's no place for him. Goes, what was it, guys, junior college. Kirby calls him, begs him to come back. He takes over that room, and he's been the starter. Led him to a national championship, led him to a perfect record in the regular season, an SEC championship, number one spot in the college football playoff rankings. I love the story of Stetson Bennett. But just because it's a good story, just because it's made for TV, just because you could do a freaking movie on this guy one day, that does not mean he deserves to be a Heisman Trophy finalist. Absolutely not. He is taking up a chair that is deserving of someone else. Michael Penix Jr. had a great year. The running back from Michigan, Corum, had a great year. Hendon Hooker had a great year. It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. Caleb Williams, odds-on favorite for quite some time now. 37 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 4,075 passing yards, leads the nation. Yeah, he's got 2 losses now. That's okay. You know, once it's late in the season and they're in big-time games, it's okay. Let's look at some of the other finalists. Excuse me, some of their numbers on the season. C.J. Stroud, 3rd in the nation. Let's see here. Actually, I don't have that right. Anyway, C.J. Stroud, 3,340 passing yards, 3,340 passing yards, 37 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That's C.J. Stroud. What about Duggan? 3,321 passing yards, 30 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. These are just passing yards, right? That's Duggan. You got to go all the way down here. Keep scrolling if you're trying to find it on your computer here. To Stetson Bennett. 20 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 3,425 passing yards. Again, those are not bad numbers, but are those Heisman numbers? Absolutely not. Hendon Hooker, in 9 games this season, 3,135 passing yards, 27 touchdowns passing, 2 interceptions. Oh, man. List goes on and on. Let's continue to break down these stats a little bit. Bear with me, guys. I'm trying to find it. My phone, sometimes Twitter goes really, really slow on my phone. I guess it's because I'm so popular, right? Says the rate limit's exceeded. Sometimes it really slows this thing down. All right, here we go. It's from Zach Reagan at Zach TNT. He does A to Z Sports. I took this from him, so credit where credit's due. Stetson Bennett, 3,609 total yards this season, 27 total touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. Hendon Hooker, 3,565 yards, 32 total touchdowns, and 2 interceptions in 2 fewer football games than Stetson Bennett. Says a lot to lead your team to an SEC championship. I get it, man, but I mean, again, these stat lines in 2 fewer games, it's not even a comparison. Here's another stat I found. Hendon Hooker, this is against ranked opponents this season. It's not just a Stetson Bennett cry here, guys. That's against ranked opponent C.J. Stroud, 5 touchdowns. Hendon Hooker, 15 touchdowns. C.J. Stroud, 2 interceptions. Hendon Hooker, 2 interceptions. C.J. Stroud, a 308.7 passing yards per game. Hendon Hooker, 260 rushing yards altogether. A 291.0 passing yards per game mark. 260 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. C.J. Stroud, 5 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions, 308.7 passing yards per game, 3 rushing yards, no rushing touchdowns. So again, it's not just he's better than C.J. Stroud, or he's better than Stetson Bennett. It's some of the other guys in this category as well. Let's look at this. It's from Nathaniel Rutherford, formerly of RTI. Bennett, 3,400, 25 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 8.6 yards per attempt, 184 rushing yards, and 7 touchdowns. Hendon Hooker, 3,135 yards, so a little less there, 27 touchdowns passing, that's 7 more, 2 interceptions, that's 4 less than Stetson Bennett, 10.9 yards per attempt, 430 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, again, in 2 less games. Let's break it down even further, shall we? Hendon Hooker, a 175.51 passing efficiency rating. That is second in Power 5 versus the nation's 7th toughest schedule by ESPN's Football Power Index. So he's got the 2nd highest passing efficiency rating versus Power 5 opponents and the nation's 7th toughest schedule. That's something. 9.53 yards per pass attempt. That's number one in the nation. You've got his touchdown to interception ratios at 32.2. That's of the 24 FBS quarterbacks who threw 25 or more touchdowns. Hendon Hooker threw the fewest interceptions altogether. 89.5. That's his QBR by ESPN. That is second in the nation. 441 yards of total offense against Alabama with 5 passing touchdowns and a win. That's the most since Johnny Manziel against Alabama in 2013. 69.6 completion percentage. That's number 4 in the Power 5 ranks. He has 2 wins over current college football playoff top 15 teams. That's tied for first in the nation. Of course, those wins came against Alabama and LSU. He has 5 wins over AP top 25 teams at the time of the meeting, combining for 1,817 yards of total offense and 16 touchdowns in those games. We can go on and on. We can spew this stat to this stat and this storyline and this storyline. CJ Stroud is deserving. Caleb Williams is deserving. Max Duggan is deserving. Stetson Bennett's deserving too. These guys are deserving to be Heisman conversational pieces. Do all 4 of these guys deserve to be in New York City over Hendon Hooker? Hell no. Absolutely not. It's an embarrassment. I mean, it really truly is. You guys know me. I am not a homer. I do not see things through orange-shaded glasses. I do not intentionally go against Tennessee. That is, it's just Homer, the Homer style in terms of broadcasting or in terms of journalism. That is not me. And you guys appreciate that about me for the most part, I feel like. But goodness gracious. I'll tell you what, there are some things that just, you got no words. Again, it was always a possibility that Stetson Bennett would get that 4 spot over Hendon Hooker. Hendon being named a finalist was never a given. Absolutely not. In fact, he got hurt and missed the last game of the regular season. Tennessee did not play in the conference championship game. All those are factored in. I understand that. I get it. But you can't tell me that a lot of this just isn't made for freaking TV. You've got the odds-on favorite and 3 other college football playoff quarterbacks. That's your 4 as the Heisman Trophy finalists. Ooh, if you're a Heisman voter and you voted in a Stetson Bennett over Hendon Hooker, you should be ashamed of yourself. Again, love the story. Love the story. I do. I love that story. Against all odds, all that type of stuff. Just because it's a good story. And honestly, just because it's kind of legendary status if you're a Georgia fan. It really is if you think about it. Put yourself, say you're a Georgia fan. Kind of try to think that way right now. The story of Stetson Bennett, again, coming on, national championship, and all that type of stuff, it's kind of legendary. But that does not mean that he deserves to be a spot in New York over someone, in my opinion, deserving like Hendon Hooker. So, anyway, best of luck to these guys. I mean, truly, like, I don't dislike Stroud or Williams or Duggan or Bennett. I don't. I just don't think all 4 of those guys should be in over a Hendon Hooker. So, hey, that is my soapbox. Let me climb down off it right now. Let's get back into it. We'll get into your mailbag questions right here on a Twitter Tuesday. That is coming up next on Locked on Vols. Hope you guys will stay with me here. I hope I didn't shoo anybody away or make anybody mad or just kind of went off there for a little bit. But, hey, sometimes it's needed in my opinion. Omaha Steaks. Holidays are here. Achieve gifting greatness when you gift the perfect age tender and delicious Omaha steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have put together a special curated gift packages to help you take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. Go to omahasteaks.com. Take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Plus, use that code LOCKEDON at checkout. You're going to get an additional $30 off your order. Send an assortment of mouthwatering favorites guaranteed to impress, like, hey, the legendary Booker's Butcher's Filet Mignon, air chill boneless chicken, ultra juicy burgers, and even easy to prepare comfort meals that can be ready in a flash. I told you guys this, you know my story with Omaha Steaks. I gifted it to a couple of the guys in my life, like my dad, my grandfather, soon to be father-in-law, soon to be stepfather-in-law, and they loved it. I mean, it truly is. I mean, you know, the clientele here is, I know there's some awesome females, awesome ladies out here that watch us and listen to us, and I love you guys, and thank you so much. We're predominantly a male podcast here. We don't like to think too much, guys. Take the guessing out of gifting and do your shopping over at omahasteaks.com. $50 off site-wide, plus use the code LOCKEDON at checkout to get an additional $30 off your order. Again, that is omahasteaks.com, promo code LOCKEDON, and make it easy on yourself this holiday season. All right, guys, welcome back into your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I said my piece about the Hendon Hooker situation there in segment one. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know. Fill out those comment sections. I'm sure you will anyway, and Georgia fans will find their way in there as well. That's how it usually works. You can also find me on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Can't thank you enough for being here, guys. Really, really do appreciate it. As you know, Tuesdays is your day to take over the show. Your voice can be heard. Let's get into the mailbag edition of it. Let's go to VFL first. As it's portal season, which Vols are in the portal, and who are we targeting out of the portal? Well, of course, we know the first official day for underclassmen to enter the portal was yesterday. Nobody knew enter the portal that we didn't already know about. Remember last week you had five guys announced they were going to, tight end Miles Campbell, receivers Jimmy Holiday, Jimmy Callaway, and two running backs, Lenith Whitehead and Justin Williams-Thomas. Those are the players who are in the portal right now from Tennessee. We will see. This is always a fluid situation. It changes daily, but a couple of targets that I could see Tennessee kind of zeroing in on and trying to maybe, transfer to Tennessee, guys who are officially in the portal. UCF wide receiver Ryan O'Keefe, Oregon wide receiver Dante Thornton, and we already know the tight end that was offered last week by Tennessee from Division II, Shorter's University, Kyle Morlock. He's a tight end, and he's anything but short, 6'7", 250 pounds. So those are some targets in the transfer portal right now. Of course, that can change by the day, guys. They can see him in person, decide they didn't like him, or obviously they can find new targets as well. Let's go next to Colin, and Boggle also wants to know kind of on this situation. I'm reading Colin's question now. As much as you love baseball, and if you're watching on YouTube, you obviously know I love baseball. Got the bobbleheads behind me. And the way you love the transfer portal shaking up, I have dreamed of asking you this question. All right, Colin Castleberry, let's hear it. Are the Vols buyers or sellers this offseason? Well, I mean, of course they're going to try to add to their roster, right? I mean, that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of college football these days. You're trying to improve your roster every single offseason by every means necessary. And now it's illegal, transfer portal. There's windows there where you can go in and you can recruit and try to bring guys to your campus. So Tennessee's definitely going to try to be buyers. In terms of sellers, like, what do you mean by that? Scholarships are scholarships, right? You can have those end-of-the-year meetings, which Tennessee had last week, where the head coach meets with everybody on the football team, and the position coach meets with everybody in their position room one-on-one and have discussions and be frank about things. Like, hey, you know, if I'm a player saying, hey, I was third string of a scout team this year, or I just did special teams, is there a future here for me, or would I have a better opportunity if I look somewhere else? And the coach could say, yeah, man, never say never, but you know, it's going to be tough for you here. And then it kind of encourages someone to go in the transfer portal. Yeah, sure, that can happen. But, you know, Tennessee can't just say, hey, I don't want you back on the roster, so you need to leave. You can't do that. So, nonetheless, Tennessee will be buyers for sure. Tennessee will try to improve its roster any means necessary. Colin, good question there. Let's go to Alan. Alan wants to know, let's see here. Do you, Alan as well as Hunter. Allen and Hunter both want to know kind of some Joe Milton stuff. Do you think it's possible that Milton shows enough in the bowl game this year to garner enough pro interest and declare for the draft this year? What kind of game would he need for that to happen? Could he get drafted this year purely based on his arm strength? Also, a second question, separately but related. Several quarterbacks have already entered the transfer portal. Which ones would be the best to run our offense immediately? Yeah, I think you're just asking this to get my opinion because, again, I've said many, many times it will be – I will not say Tennessee would never take a quarterback from the transfer portal this offseason because, like I've said, it's fluid. Things change every single day. But remember, Joe Milton's the expected starter next year. You have Nico coming in. You have Taven Jackson on the roster. It's not a very appealing place to be a quarterback, right? I mean, if you're from the portal, because you're looking for an opportunity to start. I feel like you're asking this question in terms of if you just take one who could run the offense really, really well. That's how I'm going to answer it. Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State. He's been there forever, right? And I think he has 1 year of eligibility. He entered the transfer portal yesterday. Really, really good talent. I think he could run this offense well. That's just the one who popped into mind. I am not saying Tennessee's going and trying to get him. Again, I've maintained the position of if you are a transfer portal quarterback right now, it's going to be really tough if you want to come to Tennessee. That's why I don't think anybody's looking at Tennessee. As far as the first half of that question with Milton, probably not. Like say Joe Milton went out and declared for the draft this year, which he's not. He wouldn't get drafted, but he would be in a camp. He would be given an opportunity to, like, somebody would try to snatch him up as an undrafted free agent immediately, right? Because you see the potentials there. That's just my opinion. Would he, in terms of having a game in the bowl game, to where he could jump up on some radars potentially? But I don't think that much to make him a draftable quarterback right now. That's just my opinion. So I wouldn't worry about that whatsoever. Let's go on to KWayne1800. Always chiming in here, giving us thoughts. He has something I want to read here. So this has been a great year, but it also has been a major disappointment in the way Tennessee lost to South Carolina. It's easy for us as fans to allow emotions to get in our way, and we look to the future. I know some are over-optimistic and some are super negative because of our defense, Big Joe, the so-called culture problems. Someone in your position is forced to take emotions out of it and make rational judgments. A little emotional there in segment number one. I'm not going to lie to you. So following this year, are you more optimistic about our future, less optimistic, or about the same? I mean, how in the world could you not be more optimistic, right? This team was projected by many, myself included, for 8 wins. I think the official like total was 7.5, and I said sprint to that over, right? I mean Tennessee could crawl to 8 wins this year. I think it's kind of how I phrased it. So how could you not be optimistic? You're number two, still dealing with some talent issues on this roster, and it's up to you to coach that up, and Tennessee's done that for the most part. It's up for you to recruit well and develop well and all that, but yeah, how could you not be optimistic? I'm super optimistic, knowing that Tennessee's going to lose a lot from this year. Tennessee lost a lot from last year, and Bayless Jones, Javonte Payton, they lost a couple of guys on defense as well, but Matthew Butler was a guy that played over 800 snaps on the defensive line last year. You're gonna lose even more potentially this year. That's just the nature of college football, the nature of being a good football team. But man, the development, the culture. I understand a lot of people are wondering what the heck happened to South Carolina. Look what happened to Vanderbilt the week later. Come out and it looked like the defense was supporting the offense in that game, right? That's just had a horrible game. But nonetheless, 100%, I am more optimistic about Tennessee in the future after seeing this past season. We'll get one more in here on segment number two. Let's go to James. Actually, I'm going to save that one. It's a little bit long. And we will go ahead and go to Devin. If I can find here. Here we go, Devin. First off, it's going to be great getting a chance to stick it to Dabo in the bowl game. Second, should we worry about any offensive players jumping in the portal right now? Well, as of right now, the only five defectors from the Tennessee roster have been on the offensive side of the football. But again, those guys were not holding huge roles in this offense right now. Of course, Jalen Hyatt could potentially go pro. Darnell Wright could potentially go pro. Cedric Tillman will go pro. I mean, he's a true senior this year. I mean, like anybody else, like just want to leave on offense? I don't think so. I mean, again, I'm not saying never because, again, that's just, things can always happen. Things move quickly, but I don't think so. I really, really don't think so. All right, we'll come back, get some more of your questions. We will lead off with James in segment number three. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols as we continue on with your mailbag questions. All right, guys, can we pause for just a second? Okay, we're paused. Great, because you're going to want to try this. I'm talking about Built Bar's new reimagined flavors. Cookie dough topper, coconut brownie bar, coconut brownie topper, white chocolate peppermint granola. It's Built. Takes on granola bar, and it's more filling and still insanely tasty, all right? And candy cane brownie puff. Built puffs are like biting into a universe's most delicious cloud. First off, for anyone who hasn't tried Built Bars yet, they're literally the best-tasting protein bars ever built. They're revolutionary. They're revolutionizing nutrition as we know it with 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, and shockingly low sugar and calories. 130 calories. Just sink your teeth into that first bite and it'll change your life forever. Not lying, guys. Not lying. I'm not kidding. There will be a time before you try these Built Bar flavors and you're not going to want that time. It's magical, wonderful time afterwards. You're probably wondering which new flavors are my favorites. An unanswerable question, to say the least. They're all unbelievable and they're all different, so you can order a mix box and try all five flavors for yourself. Stocking stuffers, guys. Built, you got to try this. Get 15% off your order right now by using the promo code LOCK15. All that is at Built.com. All right, guys, we got one more segment left of your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Josh Ward is coming up on a Ward Wednesday tomorrow. We'll get back into some breaking down some of the season highs. We got performances of the year, games of the year, all that and more to get into. Some of my work over at VolQuest.com. Let's get to more of your questions. James has a lengthy one, so bear with me here. Twitter Tuesday. Statement more than a question. Willie Martinez should be fired. First off, to play that poorly with the season on the line, somebody has to be fired. Secondly, his unit has not made meaningful improvements the way basically every other position group has. The obvious reason to that is the secondary lacks talent. To that, I say exactly. It's his responsibility to bring in and coach up players to succeed against SEC offenses, and he has objectively failed. He goes on, for context, in 2020, this is a good point. This is a good point. I remember reading this earlier. In 2020, when JG was struggling, the coaches said he's the quarterback that gives them the best chance to win. Rightfully so. A lot of the media members pointed out, though, that it still didn't exonerate Chaney, second-year OC, and Winky, second-year quarterback coach, because their job was to get good quarterback play, whether it's be bringing guys in or coaching them up. And the same logic was true 2 years ago at the most important position in football. It certainly remains true in the secondary today. All right, that was a lot. Good points, too, James. Good points. A performance like that in South Carolina should not be forgotten. 100% agree with that. That was horrific. That was horrific. Secondary was piss poor that game. I will remind you, however, again, defensive line has a lot to do with that. Linebackers have a lot to do with that. I wouldn't just single out one position group because it's them that are not making the interceptions or making the tackles or getting beat or whatever. Defense is all so tied together. It just truly is. It was not a good performance, though. Another point I would say, Willie Martinez does not coach the entire secondary. Willie Martinez coaches the corners. Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, coaches the safeties and the nickelback. And you're probably just saying, okay, well, who cares? You'll fire Tim Banks. I mean, okay, you can shift the focus there a little bit. I don't have an answer. Really, I don't. I think Tennessee's gotten better with some individual players. I think what Danico Slaughter did this year was really impressive. I think what Brandon Turner did at times this year was really impressive. I think Tamari McDonald has a lot of holes in his game, but I think he's improved so much. I like Wesley Walker a lot. The safeties were not good. The safeties have not been good. Kind of just is what it is, right? And I understand they are where they need to be. They're the leaders. They're good enough to play at this level. At least good enough to be at this level, I guess I should say. But what about the guys behind him? It's a fair point. Andre Turrentine, brand new to the system this year, came over in the summer. He's still a young guy, was a true freshman at Ohio State a season ago. Jordan Thomas, true freshman here at Tennessee right now. Danico Slaughter potentially could have played one of those spots, and maybe he should have early on, but late in the season he couldn't, right? They had to play him at corner. So I'm with you, man. I'm not sitting here. Fire this coach guy is not my style, but for questions to be asked about performances and development over some years, That's fair. That is fair. I wanted to point out some of those things in terms of what they were working with back there. All right, James, good stuff, man. Really, really do appreciate that. Let's go on now to, let's see here. Oh, can't find it. Can't find it. How embarrassing. Let's go to Vol of the Wild. Is the Orange Bowl going to be a trial run for Joey Halsey as offensive coordinator? I wouldn't say that per se, because remember, that game's going to be on December the 30th, and Tennessee better have that coach's spot filled by December the 30th. So, again, like I said on yesterday's show, I feel like it'll be an internal promotion for Joey Halsey, and Heupel will go out and hire a tight ends coach to come in, and then Heupel will have even more of a hand in the offensive game planning, offensive play calling, like he did at the beginning of his tenure with Alex Golish. That's what I think will happen. You know, it'll be a good opportunity for him, and of course next year will be a good opportunity for him, but that position will be filled by December the 30th, in my opinion, because again, why? Tennessee needs to attack the transfer portal for sure, but needs to go and get tight ends out of the transfer portal, and you need to have a tight ends coach. You need to know if those guys are coming to Tennessee, they want to know who's coaching them, so you want to go out and find a tight ends coach quickly, for sure. Let's go to Braden. Braden chimes in next. What will the plan going into next year for punter and kicker? Good question. Really, really good question. Let's see here. Cohen also wanted to know about Alex Golish and top performances or top replacements for Golish. Yeah, okay, I kind of answered that a little bit. I don't know about top, you know, the hot board for OC or the hot board for tight ends right now. I think it'll be internal promote, go find a tight end guy. So I can't answer that question, Cohen. I'm sorry. But Braden, in terms of kickers and punters next year, yeah, Chase McGrath, super senior. I think I gave him a hard time a lot of the times, but he was super solid. I mean, he was super senior, super solid. Paxton Brooks, something about the punt operation this year just wasn't right. Wasn't right at all. He did not have a good year. The punter next year, I can tell you, will be Jackson Ross. He's an Aussie, a guy from Australia. Tennessee signed him over the summer. He's getting adjusted to the American lifestyle. Was a former pro rugby player over there in Australia, and that guy can boom it. He can. So Tennessee will be in good hands at punter next year with Jackson Ross. As far as kicker, I'm not sure. I don't believe that Toby Morgan will be here any longer. I think he was a fifth year senior. I would imagine he's going to move on. JT Carver is a redshirt freshman. He's a kicker. He's an in-state guy. And then right here at Knox Central, Josh Tupperville, he's also on the roster. So I'm not sure if Tennessee maybe will go out and find a kicker in the transfer portal. I'm not sure what's going to go on there. But I can tell you the punter is going to be Jackson Ross. Last one we're going to get into. This is from the Locked On Vols DM accounts. Give me a second just to work my way over there. Twitter's continuing to be super slow. Let's go C-Norm. With Alex Golish, will he be there for the Orange Bowl? No, he will not. He's moving on South Florida. He's developing a staff, recruiting guys to be on his staff, and going to get started there. So Alex Golish will not be coaching in the Orange Bowl. Also, do you see Wesley Walker getting the start at safety? That's a really good question. See, Trayvon Flowers should be back and healthy to play in this football game. Jalen McCullough is back. He should. Again, he should have started there a long time ago. I said Slaughter at safety. I forgot about Wesley Walker. Wesley Walker can still play nickelback as well, split time with Tamir McDonald, but also go back and play safety. Wesley Walker needs to be playing somewhere for sure. He's good enough to be a starter. He's one of the better ones, in my opinion. It's a good question, though. But, I mean, with this being a bowl game, this being Trayvon Flowers' last game, they've been ride or die with those two guys their entire tenure here. I will say no. Should he? Absolutely. Will he? I'll say no at this juncture. I'll say no, but that can always change. He deserves to play, and I expect him to be a starting safety this time next year. This coming in right now in real time. This is from Dallas. The portal definitely exploded today, as you said. Anything specific targets you've heard for Tennessee that'll get a shot? I feel offensively they should be able to be on a level playing field with any other school. I would agree with that. How about defense? They could possibly benefit from hitting on some portal guys to help bridge the gap on their recruiting classes, getting in and getting developed. Yeah, we'll see. It's still early on in the process. I mentioned some names earlier in the show, and that was mainly wide receivers and tight ends. Tennessee's going to – I think they'd like to go get a pass rusher. I think they'd like to go get a linebacker. There's one there as well. So, you know, we'll see. Portal just opened on Monday officially. So there's a long, and just because you jump in the portal now doesn't mean you have to find a destination when the window shuts later this month. You can still choose it at any points in times in January and February, or whatever. Then there will be another transfer portal window after spring practice. It's where you can kind of do that whole process again. So, guys, thank you so much. Really appreciate you, as always, for tuning in and catching us here with Locked On Vols. Recorded that segment one right after the announcement with Hendon Hooker not making it to New York as a Heisman finalist. Let me be clear again. I do not think Hendon Hooker would win the Heisman this year. I think he should have been there. And are the other four guys deserving? Sure, they're great stories. They're great players. Should Duggan or Bennett be over there over Hendon Hooker? Not in my opinion. Not in my opinion whatsoever. So I think it truly says something about what that whole process is now. Yeah, the odds-on favorite, Caleb Williams, and then three other college football playoff quarterbacks, and those are your four Heisman finalists. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Know it was a little bit long. Sorry about that. A little lengthy segment number one. But as always, thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Check out Locked On Sports today. Make that your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. We'll have Ward Wednesday tomorrow. We'll continue to break down Tennessee's football season and all the news of the day right here on Locked On Vols.